Beach crab.
Hey,
it's gonna be a podcast as well. Because that's what happens when you got the crew. We're gonna just bring it down. Don't waste the time. Week 6, 23-20, Rams over the Broncos. Beautiful time. It's your boy 3K at 3K underscore Robbo. Robbo, welcome into the quiet storm at Seattle Rams underscore NFL, the sexiest Twitter handle on social media. What's up, Robbo?
Hello, people. I'm sitting here in the, sitting here in the close confines of my recording studio. We're going to talk some Rams football.
I was almost like a sunset over Pike Place. I wasn't ready. Joey O, L.A. Rams on your Twitter dial. What's up, baby?
What's going on, jerks?
You know, I want to do that, but
we don't even sound sexy. We sound like a bunch of guys with emphysema.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's really my wife is in the background going, that's creepy.
Yeah, because I'm drinking a Blue Moon mango wheat. So it kind of negates the whole cool low voice guy thing.
Yeah, Blue Moon definitely is not the cool low voice guy drink.
No.
The Blue Moon mango wheat, as I pour it over your hair and massage it in. I did find, oh man, I'd have to find what the name of that. Oh, let me look. While I do this, we've got personal news. Joey, you're in the placenta parade. Congrats, man.
Yes, it took me 9 months to get there. But yeah, man, I am from the unfortunately named Placentia, California. We talk about it every week. But
Placentia,
they had the
California.
Heritage Day.
Beautiful place.
Yeah, the Heritage Day parade was this weekend. And I've been needing to go to this high school, which was 1,000 years ago. And I was like, oh, yeah, I should go. No, not yet. And so I was like, okay, I want to take my wife down there. And it was raining. So I was like, okay, well, we're still going to go. And so we go down there and we're sitting out there. We have umbrellas and it sucks. There's like nobody out there because it's like drizzling all morning. But I was like, whatever. Like, we went down here for the weekend. Going to do this. And the celebrity grand marshal, like somebody from like CBS News. And the camera lady comes by. She goes, listen, my producer told me I need to like interview people and like why they're out here in the rain. I was like, eh, I got 10 minutes. I'm ready to regret. Roll camera. And wearing my Rams hat, which is awesome. You know, got to represent. And so, yeah. So anyways, it ended up on the news later that night. It was pretty funny. I'm trying to get my 3-year-old kid to say, you know, she asked him, like, why are you in the parade? And I'm all, say America. And he's like, America. But like it was just too soft and they didn't get it. So
I just cutting room floor. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, I did that and I did see A Star Is Born, Robbo.
Ooh, and
yeah.
Wait, before we do it, we need a rating. We need a Joey rating system. Are we gonna do like 1 out of 5 stars? Are we gonna 1 out of 5 jerks?
Yes. Exactly. And jerk. And so, like, the Big Lebowski gets 5 jerks, right?
There's not enough jerks to rate the Big Lebowski.
It's jerks infinity.
Infinite jerks.
So I would have to say that Star is Born was 3.5 jerks for me. I was thinking it was going to go 4 jerks or 5, but for some reason, I think the problem I have with that movie is not necessarily anything they did with the movie. It's just the story itself is just kind of like the first hour is like, this is fun. This is great. And then it's just kind of like, it's just like a non-clever bummer. I don't know.
It's definitely predictable. You do not have to have seen the first 2 versions of it to know what's going to happen. You kind of know.
Versions.
First three, Robbo.
This is, well, the three, wasn't there 2 movies and a musical?
No, it was all like a movie. So there was like in like the 30s, the 50s, the 70s, and whatever
the 50s version
decade
of the
right now,
Broadway. But yeah, so you don't. I mean, you still don't have to. If you've seen movies in your life, you tend to know. All right, I know where this one's going, and there's not a lot of surprise.
Yeah, But Bradley Cooper, he kind of killed it. Like, I mean, he like learned how to play like guitar and he was killing it. And he was awesome. It's worth it just to see him do it. But I don't know, man. I wasn't like blown away. I wanted to get blown away. So
between that, I was talking to my wife about this weekend. Doesn't Lady Gaga need to start going by some other name? Like I get it when you're like dressed up, when you're dressed up in bubble wrap and you're dressed up in a meat suit. I get it. You're Lady Gaga and you're doing
pop poker face.
Like, yeah, you're Lady Gaga. But when you're doing this now, like Joey, you're the Oscar expert here, but imagine like being at a serious awards event, at a serious event, and the award goes to Lady Gaga. Like that's almost like Hunger Games esque. Lady Gaga has won it.
Well, and I think the closest that the Academy Awards came to that was Cher, and that's just, she just doesn't use a last name. But you know, she was dressed all wacky and crazy the whole Moonstruck days. But yeah, she kind of needs to like Dwayne the Rock Johnson herself, or just go.
Yeah,
by.
Exactly.
I mean, her name is like 87 syllables long, right? Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanotta. Lady Gaga's a lot easier.
Stage names.
But Steve-O. I don't know. You come up with something.
Steve-O. That one's
Steve-O. Steph-O. I do wonder about the opposite. Like, instead of Lady Gaga, in 8 years, we're going to give an Oscar to Dr. Bobo Gaga Nana Face or something. It's going to be even worse.
Oh, he's good. He's really good.
He's not in Capitol
Theater.
Yeah.
He's got no limitations. Robbo, you had plans this week, supposedly.
Yeah. I did the old Oktoberfest on Saturday. Drove up to Leavenworth, Washington.
So when you did the, did you go to an Oktoberfest in Seattle? What does this mean? Explain it to me who doesn't understand Oktoberfest.
I flew 15 hours to Munich and partied for a couple hours and flew back. So Leavenworth, Washington.
You did that, though. You actually did that.
Leavenworth, Washington is a town in the mountains east of Seattle, about 2 hours east of Seattle. And a number of years ago, they decided as a cool marketing gimmick that they would suddenly become Bavarian, and they've redone the entire city center into half-timbered buildings. And they, you know, all the signs are it's a small American German town where they just love to do the whole, you know, German thing. So the last 3 weekends in October, they hold the Oktoberfest festivals, and they section off part of the town, and you've got tents out there with, you know, music and beer, and they import beer from Germany, and they just, everyone shows up, and, you know, they're wearing their, like, you know, if you're like me, the authentic, expensive, I paid way too much money in Germany for, like, Lederhosen, and then all the way down to Halloween costume Lederhosen, or a guy wearing a t-shirt with Lederhosen stamped on it kind of thing. People just go there, have a good time, and drink and listen to music and act like a fool, which is kind of right in my wheelhouse.
Beautiful.
It's good.
Because
time.
Why?
It's good.
What did Joey's young progeny say? America. That's why.
America. That's right. It's what we do. We drink beer, we eat, and we listen to music, and it's kind of part of our civil rights. It's in the Bill of Rights right now, isn't it? It's like number 8.
It needs to be. Sounds like a good time had by all. Turf Show Radio food update. It's not soup season here. The temperature was in the 40s today, so I made soup. I'm one of those people that refuse to eat soup when it's hot. Do you guys eat soup when it's hot? I find that creepy.
Not when it's hot,
not really.
But if it drops down into, if, like during the summertime, if we get a chilly summer day and it drops down into like the low 70s, we might break out of soup. But traditionally, we're more of a fall to early spring soup season.
I felt kind of bad when I got back here and we went to eat. This was in like July or August, and we were talking about soup. And my mama got soup, and it was like 90 degrees outside. And it was the first time. It was honestly the first time where I ever thought to myself, I got to look into if I need to put my mama in a home. You can't eat soup when it's 90 degrees outside. That's like senility. What the fuck is this? What are you doing? I like soup at any time of the year. That's just crazy talk. You need to be watched. You need supervision.
What soup did you make today?
Today I made a minestrone. I just went simple minestrone.
Sweet.
It's great. It's a great soup, but it's so much work because you got to do all this prep, all the meats, and it takes a lot of time. But it comes out real good, super easy, and everybody loves it. Good time having my all. I did. We gotta say Peach Pit. We've already gone 10 minutes in, and we gotta get to football. But yeah, my daughter's a strange one, and minestrone was a good lead-in for that. We're going back to the night storm, the quiet storm, the Sunday night sexy emphysema voice. Week 6, snow, 40 degrees. And I need one of those old NFL films.
26 degrees.
Was it? Felt like 40. If you're in Hamilton, Canada, it was 108. It was so cold on the frozen mile-high turf. Was it ugly because of the weather? How much effect do you guys think the weather, the conditions had on this game? Jared Goff was wearing gloves. Ted Rath is our psycho strength conditioning coach. He was in a jock strap and a tank top on sideline. How much did the weather affect this game? God, I love
Do you think
Ted Rath.
That guy could pass a drug test, Ted Rath?
Define drug test.
HGH?
No.
I think he has HGH for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I think that guy
He invented HGH. I think HGH was invented from his urine. How about that?
He's 30% HGH.
He's pure HGH.
So, yeah, I think the thing about the weather is I think it affects both teams because you got guys like Case Keenum. It's not like he was born and raised in Colorado. And, you know, these guys aren't always playing in the cold weather just because they play for the Broncos.
Right.
And I don't think the Broncos were like killing it out there and the Rams were struggling. I think it was just I'm sure that ball like felt like just a frozen rock. But Robert Woods, who's a California guy, I mean he was
all three receivers
just fine.
All three receivers have played in cold weather, right? Cup played in cold weather. Mm-hmm. I know for damn fact
he did.
Define
cold weather.
Cold weather I would say 25 and below, colder. Anything.
So
freezing.
I'm checking temperature stat. The coldest game that Cooper Kupp ever played in at Eastern Washington, 73 degrees, according to temperature stat. 73.
I can tell you right now that's false because I froze my ass off on a metal bench watching him play in a playoff game, and that was not 73 degrees.
The number of people who took my tweet, I did a tweet thing before the game, and the number of people who took it seriously was way higher than zero, and it made me very sad.
Well, because Rams fan, man, they love themselves some sarcasm. I feel like they already have their comment before they read the tweet.
Oh, they definitely do.
I don't remember what I said. I tweeted something about Aaron Donald has never played in a game below 62 degrees. I got at least, 60 tweets about Aaron Donald. Did you not know Aaron Donald played at Pitt? As if a blog that covers the Rams every day does not know which college these players play. A good point, my gentleman. Thank you for informing me where Aaron Donald played his college football. Is there cold weather in this city that you speak of that I've never heard of? It was wonderful and sad and horrible. You know what it was? It was America. It was America replies in our own Twitter feed.
Yeah.
I think I tweeted 5 times in that game, please take the gloves off, Jared. Something along those lines. I mean,
was it the gloves?
He looked off. Like he just wasn't as accurate as he had been. He looked less accurate than he was in the opener against Oakland. I just didn't feel like Jared we've been watching. Now that could, who knows if it's the cold. You know, you're not gonna be perfect all the damn time. And the good thing about this team is you don't have to be when you have an offensive line that will pave, you know, holes that are big enough for the three of us to walk arm in arm through. I just don't.
Oh yeah, that sounds nice. Let's do that.
Like follow the Yellow Book Road all the way down to the goal line kind of thing.
Exactly. As long as Sosa could be Toto. Yeah.
But I would have liked to have seen him try a series out the damn glove because it seemed like he was inaccurate. And now I don't know if that was his inaccuracies or just he's just trying to fit into tighter windows. And, you know, it was Denver's coverage game. I should probably go back and rewatch that. But I just felt like, you know what, it's just not feeling – I'm just not feeling it here. It's not like it was snowing out. Okay, it was a little cold, but when you think of weather games, you think of bring the snowplow out so the Duke could kick the field goal and win 3-0 game, right? And that wasn't
well,
the case.
Yeah, and it didn't have a bunch of fumbles and a bunch of interceptions. I mean, the interceptions were maybe because of the cold. I mean, like the Josh Reynolds one. I mean,
deflection
on
his face.
I mean, was that the cold? Is that just the deflection and just kind of dumb luck? I don't know. But
it was dumb. I don't know about the luck part, but it was dumb.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that it was. I think the Broncos' pass rush was really good, and I don't know what if that was weather related or just Von Miller's really good. But they
Bradley
hit
Chubb was really good.
Really good. Yeah. I mean, that guy's for real. You know. That was his best game as a rookie, right?
It was.
It was stupendous. I do think kind of the other side, like the idea of wearing gloves for Jared Goff is that I guess his hands need to be – like how many other – do other positions need to wear gloves? Do other positions need to have other appendages warmed up? Should the balls themselves – and I'm talking about the footballs. Do the balls themselves need to be warmed? Do we need to have like – like pre-warmed footballs before they go play. This is one of these aspects, obviously, as Los Angeles Rams fans and even St. Louis Rams fans, or those of us that go back in a weather-controlled stadium, we don't deal with this a lot. But I just kind of wonder, like, where's the dividing line here? At what point do you get, okay, that's just silly. Having warmed footballs is just weird. But, oh, I'm going to wear gloves the entire game when I never throw the football with gloves on because my knuckles are too cold? It's just weird.
See, I don't know that it's a my hand was too cold thing. I think it's more about a grip on the football. So if it gets cold, there's any kind of moisture, you get the cold, it starts to get a little slick, and you don't want to have it slip and throw it to the wrong team. So the idea is you put the glove on, you get a little more grip.
And he has famously small hands. So
he does have small hands.
Famously small.
I think it was more about the grip thing. I can't imagine it was because it was too cold.
What do they do for the grip when it gets into November and December at old Eastern Washington, Robbo? What do they – do they all wear gloves, or is there a stick-em? Is there one of these old football – old Johnny Hecker's mama used to have him dip his fingers in molasses before the game? Is there an old mama's tale about how they keep them fingertips nice and sticky?
Yeah, you see a lot of glove wearing at Eastern Washington, and when it's 7, it's a lot of glove wearing, and a lot of steamy breath. It's an interesting place. It's just cold, and you're sitting on those metal benches. You really just don't care. You just want the game to be over. It's like, you know what? I'm kind of good. Let's just get this thing done. I don't know. I think it was more of a grip thing. I really do. But I would have liked to have seen him try it without it, especially as the day went on. It didn't seem like it was that cold out there, guys. It just was a little chilly, but it wasn't frigid. I don't know. That's kind of why I was just – even try a series. One series, if it sucked, put the glove back on. But it just seemed like he was off and the glove wasn't working. So I'm going to go with it was glove and not that he was below average.
Kurt Warner-esque. Joey, what do you think about the defense? I know your boy Jared didn't have a great game, but what did you get out of the defense?
I mean, they looked alive. You know, it looked like they had a chip on their shoulder and they wanted to get it. And I felt like they did a great job on run defense. I felt like it was nice to see LaMarcus Joyner do something. You know, got a sack. It was nice to see him with a pulse. That was pretty cool. And people are talking about Marcus Peters playing well, and I don't know. What do you think about Peters?
He wasn't bad. I think that's an improvement, right?
I wasn't sure what my opinion on him was.
Did they test him, or did they just say, "Hey, we got this guy Troy Hill that we could run past at any point that we want to"?
Well, maybe that's okay though, because that was the case 2 weeks ago, right?
Right. True.
And they still went at Marcus Peters, so. Here's what it comes down to. I'd rather them go at Troy Hill because I'm willing to move on from Troy Hill. I don't want to not like Marcus Peters. So
tell me about
Troy
it.
Hill, please, please,
please give me that Aqib Talib hope because he's not going to come back and replace Peters, right? So we just held out till Aqib gets ready. We'll be fine. We'll be good for the playoffs. I won't need Troy Hill.
I did like a lot of people calling for like Sam Shields without noting that he played a decent amount. and didn't really change much. It was just,
he was on the field when they were, he wasn't targeted when they're giving up, you know, home run right. balls. So that's why.
Yeah. Overall, I mean, it wasn't bad. Obviously, Case Keenum finished with 322 yards and the two touchdowns, and obviously had that one coming back from Emmanuel Sanders. What are you gonna say, Rob?
I watched NFL Prime. I think it's called Prime Time. It's one of the NFL Network after at the end of Sunday when it's
what?
It's now LT.
We need to come up with new names because everything sounds like it's called NFL Prime Time. NFL Prime Time. Prime Time.
What it actually does have Deion Prime Time Sanders, and he has his own show.
Deion Prime Time with your host Joey Prime O'Coin, Rob Prime Time Forehead.
No, it's actually hosted by Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime. What time? What time is the prime?
So Shannon Sharpe was on, and you know, as they were talking to him about this, because he's the former Bronco, and he's like, you know what? If you didn't watch this game, you look at stats, you think Case Keenum played pretty well. He's like, that's crap. He played like ass. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. He played like ass. He really wasn't that good. They got up 20-3. They got down 20-3, and then, you know, Rams started playing a little more prevent. I'm not sure that's what happened, but that's what Shannon was saying. He's like, so we got hot, you know, towards the end, whatever. But he's like, Case Keenum wasn't very good in that game, and they were talking about having to move on from him. I don't know what Case Keenum looked great, and I'm not sure that the Broncos really did much that was like, wow. Other than run past Troy Hill, that I didn't see a play that was like, man, these guys they're in this game, and obviously they were, but it just didn't feel like. I'm feeling threatened by anything they were doing. So it was nice to see the defense step up, especially, like you said, the rush game. I think they held them to 17 carries for 60 yards, so 3.5 average, which is a vast improvement from what they've been doing.
That was the big difference, right?
Yeah, right? They just, all right, Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman, you're not going to get
didn't
off.
Didn't do shit. They didn't
the
do
longest
any.
Yard, longest rush they gave up was 9 yards to Devontae Booker. I'm looking right now. So, yeah, it was all right. I think Gurley had 9 on his first carry, so whatever.
Yeah, Gurley. I mean, Todd Gurley had a great game. I thought the offensive line was equally as impressive, which is saying that they were both amazing. But so was the run defense. We completely shut down the run and forced them to go through the air. Which, you know, as much as we love Case Keenum as a former guy, he's just not that special. And it played into the hands of a game in the modern NFL when you only score 20 points. That's just not enough. And luckily the Rams, even with 23, which isn't enough, were able to get it done. Well, what do you think about the running disparity, Joey, in terms of what we were able to do on the ground and how we shut them down?
Well, man, I thought it was great. And what I thought was interesting is how people were, you know, we'll talk about this later with the play calling. But, I mean, this was the most Todd Gurley has had carried the ball since his rookie season. 28 carries. He usually, you know, 23, 24 is kind
they
of
were
what
ignoring
he does.
They were ignoring Todd Gurley. Tell him, Rob. He was being
I think they ignored him on that first drive when I was getting pissed. they ignored him. They ignored him on 3rd and 2. That's what really got me, because at that point of the game, it was what, their first drive. He's pretty much running at will on them, and they get down to the red zone, and it's like 3rd and 2. And that's my beef is with McVay, is when people – I think – and that's kind of where we're going with this whole – maybe I shouldn't say I'm speaking for Twitter, but I kind of get the sense that, you know, it's working. Why are you going away from it? Why do you have to force the pass when it's working? You get in the red zone and you have to throw it in rather than just like Todd Gurley do what Todd Gurley does. He was gashing him down the field at 3rd and 2, and then you go away from it on the 2. And – just to, you know, talk about how much rush it meant. If you're running the ball and Goff is clearly off, you don't have to run Todd Gurley 28 times, because Malcolm Brown also had a 5 yard per carry average. Let Malcolm have a couple more runs. That's kind of where I was with that game. I thought that they could have punched in and not forced it, and I feel like they forced it a lot more than they should.
But if you think about it, Rob, it's like it wasn't like they were that. It wasn't like they were getting stopped that much. I mean, for what the Rams have been doing the first 5 games, yeah, sure. I mean, how many times did they punt the ball? 3 times? And everybody's kind of freaking out.
Yeah,
because
they had,
like,
what, 8 going into the game or something?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I thought they went – they had some bad luck. I felt like things didn't work out on plays. But as far as what Todd Gurley was doing.
Well, I mean, you can say that in any game, though. They had bad luck. The play I called didn't work.
I don't know. I'm not really on the side of saying that you should have ran it. You should have ran it because the passing plays didn't work out. I felt like it presented a nice balance for the team, that I felt like the Broncos defense wasn't expecting every time that Todd Gurley was going to run it. Like, you know, they're doing a lot of stuff with a jet motion, and also just having Goff, you know, having a lot of attempts. To me, I think that balance really helped Todd Gurley's performance, where they just didn't feel like they needed to, like, stack the box and be like, okay, well, we know that Gurley's going to run the ball right now. And I think it had the defense on their toes a little bit. So I don't know. No, I mean,
obviously you can't run the ball on every down. I mean, that's I get what you're saying. You want to have balance. So they have 28 attempts and they had 39 carries. So, you know, they definitely did run more than they threw. And I think he adjusted to that more in the second half. It was really more about I think my frustration happens in the red zone a lot of time. It's just, you know, they are not great in the red zone. They're good, but they clearly could be much better. And McVay, it's like every week after the game, it's like, you know, I have to hold myself more accountable. I put us in bad position. He said it again this week. I need to be better for our guys. I mean, and that's him taking the blame and not wanting people to criticize his players. You know, he gives them a play, you should execute it, but you can go that route too. But, you know, it's like you don't have to always force the pass when your run is working. I kind of feel like he goes a little Mike Martz sometimes, where it's like, hey, this is working, but I'm gonna air this shit out, and we're just gonna go.
Right.
I'm gonna show you how dominant we are. We're just, you know, my guy is gonna do it. I think, Joe, maybe you did it on Twitter this during the game or whatever, or maybe it was in Slack. It was, you know, if you get Gurley too much, and then you can't have Jared Goff in the MVP conversation. Was that you? Someone on TSD had talked about.
It was just the idea that part of the recency bias. I think it was Sosa brought up recency bias, and the idea that 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we were talking about Jared Goff as the MVP. Obviously, now this week we're talking about Todd Gurley as MVP. I thought what was interesting about the whole play calling thing and the way it kind of meted out. Yeah, you were right that they went away from the run on that third down and in the red zone the first two possessions. What was interesting is that it was kind of the opposite of the first two possessions against the Arizona Cardinals back in week three. If you go back to that game, the first two, and it was the first time this season that we had punted from our first two possessions, the Rams did the opposite. They leaned into Todd Gurley, and they really established the run early in that game, and that opened the pass. In this game against Denver, they forced the pass. They quite obviously did to a lot of people's, you know, frustration. But it obviously opened up the run, and I don't know how much of that is intentional and game plan and how much of that was specifically tailored to the opponents, but it was clearly the opposite, and both of them clearly worked in each situation, and I thought that was pretty interesting. On the idea of criticizing the play calls, that to your idea, the idea of ignoring Gurley, they were doing it early, and obviously they changed pretty much by the third, you know, the touchdown drive, the third possession that we had. What I thought was interesting is not towards you or anybody individually, but in terms of some general criticism, what we see a lot of the time from situations like that is people that are criticizing, what they're criticizing is kind of what Joey talked about. They're criticizing the outcome, right? I might disagree with Joey that it's bad luck. It's more just the outcome that if you pass on third and two, and you don't get it, the reason a lot of people say it's a bad play call is just because you didn't get it. If you had gotten it, people would have had no problem with the play call. They would have said, oh, it's
no,
nice. The second possession where Jared Goff had that little foot play that we're using a lot where he just kind of – what are we calling this? Is this a crotch pass? Is it an upchuck? I don't know what this is that we're doing with this little
– the incomplete pass.
The incomplete pass where he just kind of – he kind of
flipped it.
Opens up his chest.
He's passing the baton.
It's like he passed it.
I don't know what it is. We're gonna have to discuss to figure out what we're gonna call this. But he did it, and Todd Gurley drops it, and people went immediately started saying, "Why is McVay getting too cute?" Well, the reason why is in week one, that play went for a touchdown, right? Exactly. A couple weeks later, it went for 15 yards on first down. So, I get the idea that it didn't work, but it's the same play call. And when it works, we celebrate the genius of the design. And when it doesn't work, we criticize the play call. That doesn't make sense. That's one of the things where clearly what the problem that people had was the result. The result isn't a fair metric to criticize the play call. And I thought that was going on early. And eventually, and this is one of those things that you give Sean McVay credit for being a really damn good coach. And in this case, an offensive play caller. He started to ramp things up with the run, and when they did, and Todd Gurley and the offensive line was just gashing things, we took over the game.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it wasn't as close as the score dictated.
No way.
I mean, I think you didn't watch the game, you're like, oh, wow, man, the Broncos really made a game. I mean, that was a garbage time. And
yeah,
I know
it was 20-3 at one point, right? In the third.
Right.
Fourth.
Yeah. Yeah. I never felt like the Rams were going to lose that game. There's always weird stuff that can happen, but I always kind of felt like when we had it on offense, I'm like, we're going to move the ball. We're going to get down there. I mean, I really want Greg Zuerlein back, but it makes these games extra extra stressful.
Sure.
But
well,
I agree with you, Joe.
26 and 40-yard field goals. I mean, it's not like they weren't moving the ball, like you said, totally.
Yeah, it's the sample size. I mean, if you took a much larger sample size of the play calling he has, I don't think that he's as pass happy as maybe the criticisms come. I think those criticisms come when the outcome isn't to our liking, is when we're like, oh, he's pass happy. But
right.
when he's, you know, throwing bombs to Brandon Cooks and you know he's getting 15-yard first downs to Robert Woods,
yeah.
then we're not bitching about it.
Well, as sports fans, it's our job to complain about. Results, like Joe had mentioned.
What a job. What a great job
was,
we have.
When it was Jeff
fan.
Fisher, it was like, all right,
complain.
Everything sucks, and it's not good, and complain. And now it's a completely different feeling with the team, and we still have room to complain. And it's just two different worlds, right? You're complaining about how terrible everything is, and now you're complaining that, you know, 85% of the time of success is not good because that 15% should be better.
Perfect.
You got to be better on that 15%.
Right.
Yeah, I mean –
love it.
It's kind of weird. It's just, and I'm as guilty as anybody. If you follow me on Twitter, it's like I get snarky about things because you know how good this team could be and you want them to be better, but nothing is ever going to be 100%. It's no team is going to be great all the time unless you're coached by Bill Belichick.
Something beautiful about the idea that the Rams are 6-0, the only undefeated team in the NFL, given all the shit that we went through the last 15 years, and people are still finding ways to complain in football games. I find that beautiful. It's a work of art. Joey, what I want you to do is not complain. I want you to give me a defense of Jared Goff. Wags had his report card up where he said this was Goff's worst game. I thought the Raiders game was worse than this overall.
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't a good game. Give me a reason
sure.
why we should feel okay about things going into next week, given our recency bias.
I thought he made smart passes, and I felt like he took some sacks, but I think he did it very intelligently, where he knew that there wasn't a throw, and rather than try to just force the ball, he took the sack where some people would be like, you know, he needs to move better, needs to have more awareness, which is a lot of the criticism of Jared. But I think a handful of those sacks was just, I mean, he was swarmed, and there's nothing he can do. And I felt like he was very measured about his throws. I mean, yeah, the accuracy was off, probably due to the gloves or maybe the cold. But he wasn't killing us. He wasn't making these, you know, awful decisions where we're constantly like, oh, man, we just give the ball up because Jared Goff's trying to be a cowboy and he's screwing it up. I felt like that, you know, that interception is all on Jay Ray, who I think is trash. But I felt like
really
Goff. I'm tired of he's like my great pumpkin, man. I feel like I'm like Josh Rosen is going to be great, and then now I'm just sitting by myself in a pumpkin.
My son,
like
wherever you
asshole.
Are right now, Missouri, take a deep breath, brother. It's okay. he doesn't really hate him.
He's no Mike Thomas, but but back to my boy Jared. I feel like what's nice to see about him, especially in this game, is that he, I guess in one way, he disappeared. Like, he wasn't the strong performance. He still got over 200 yards.
Right.
He was still slinging it to Robert Woods. He was still moving the ball forward, and he was like a more of a field general than a guy that was making stuff happen. He was a system QB, if you will. But in a way, I think that was what the game needed. And I like that his ego isn't so big where he's like, no, man, like I need to be the dude. I mean, he let Todd Gurley be the dude. But also, I mean, Robert Woods was like dude number two. I mean, that guy was all over the field in really clutch situations. And I felt like not a lot of people are really that you know, his name is really bubbling that up when they're talking about the game.
He should be the team MVP. If you're thinking about the glue. He steps up and, oh, man, that guy.
And this
him.
Is where I love the way that guy blocks. I mean, if you really think about the value of him, I mean, he is a really good four wide receiver. I mean, anytime there's like a big Todd Gurley, you know, block or a run, Robert Woods is there with, I mean, he's making a valid block. I mean, Brandon Cooks is pretty good too. He put some effort, but I feel like Woods is like the man in that regard.
This is where I can feel that I'm getting cut from both sides, because you're right. Robert Woods has been exceptional this season for his role. Robbo and Joey, you're absolutely right that he has done a great job blocking, as the wide receivers have. And I can tell what this season has got. What used to be the idea of 3Ks, 2 negative, clearly my theme this year, my responsibility this year, is to make everybody recognize how incredible the offensive line is.
We sing their praises every week.
We talked about MVP, and we talked about how good blocking is, and both of y'all talked about Robert Woods and not the offensive line. This is going to be what is this? This is my winter staff. I don't know what this is. This is one of these things that I'm going to have to bring up every week to try to cram down Twitter's throat, is to get people to acknowledge how damn good the offensive line has been in this game. They did not have a good game in the pass blocking. Granted, in run blocking, they were exceptional. They were absolutely there were at least three runs where Todd Gurley wasn't touched for 15 yards. He didn't even get touched. He was just running. It was almost like the corn maze at the old state fair. You just didn't get touched till you got to hay maze on part three. It was incredible.
Aaron Kromer is I mean, if you want to talk about, you know, how great Sean McVay is, Aaron Kromer is in 1A, 1B. That guy has completely flipped the script on what used to be one of the worst units on this team to maybe the best overall. I mean, look what he took Austin Blythe. I think we talked
Austin
about this a couple
Blythe,
weeks ago.
Man. I was
he was
about to
released
say
by
Austin
the Colts.
Blythe.
And now he's one of the top-rated guards in the league. He, without a doubt. And I you know, we just start talking about these other things. It's easy, like you said, it's easy to overlook those guys as the unsung heroes. They'd be nowhere without those boys. They would not be anywhere without those guys playing at the level that they're playing. I mean, they straight up mauled people yesterday.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I agree with you, Joe. I mean, I think it's you know, maybe it's not the sexy topic is to talk about the offensive line, but they've been great.
Oh, let's talk about the sexy topic. Offensive linemen, haunches. 325 pounds of cured salt meat. Oh.
Well,
who was the guy on Hard Knocks, the Fat Arm Friday guy? Oh, he's with the Bears now.
Eric Kush.
We need him back just to be the cartoon character that he is.
It's one of those things, though, that when we talk about the offensive line, so often that's what we talk about is the cartoon, and obviously we do the Andrew Whitworth thing, we do the cartoonishness of them, but it's one of those things that I'm just fascinated by the idea that when we talk about, like, offensive player of the week, we know Todd Gurley's getting it this week, we know he's going to be nominated, we know that if Jared Goff puts up 350 yards that, you know, like he did against the Vikings, he's going to be in line for it. There is nothing the offensive line can do to get any kind of award or any kind of, like, national recognition.
Whoa.
There's nothing they can do.
Jeff Schwartz.
The
every week
isn't set up. I mean, that's pretty much it. It's just Jeff
SPN,
Schwartz.
SPN, right? SPN is Jeff Schwartz, but disrespect.
That's the only thing they can get is some tweets out of Jeff Schwartz. And I find it strange, if only because that we know this. We can admit it. It's one of those things that I find to be really strange.
Think about who was the biggest whipping boy for the Rams 5 years ago? Roger Saffold.
Tony Pascal. People used
to murder Saffold on game day. false start, holding, he's always injured. I mean, it was, people killed that guy. He is playing at the level right now.
Double.
Right? Best, one of the best guards in the league. Better than like Zach Martin, who was maybe, or Yanda.
Sure.
His name is up there, and he gets love. He gets love from like Baldy's breakdowns. He's, that guy just salivates Roger Saffold, what he can do in space, and he has a little nasty streak to him. And so I think some of those things are kind of coming, but I just, no one sings the praises of offensive linemen other than other offensive linemen on Twitter when they're drinking beer.
And the other thing that I think is funny is, and I never thought about this until this weekend when I tweeted it out about how good the offensive line was in run blocking, that people responded they were trash in the pass. That's
right.
True. But that's true. But here's what's funny. How good was Jared Goff in the running game? Oh, man. How could we possibly have run for all those yards without Jared Goff? Or you think about the passing game. What did Todd Gurley do in the passing game this week? Man, how could Robert Woods have had the game he did without Todd Gurley as a pass receiver? The offensive line is the only group that has to do both. They got to do both to a degree the tight ends do, but we know the Rams tight ends this year ain't done shit. They ain't done nothing. The offensive line is the only group that we look at passing. No, 2 for 24. What a great game. Oh, by the way, the offensive line was awesome. It's just one of these. It's this weird standard that we hold the offensive line to, that they have to be perfect in both aspects, and then when they are, you don't get shit. Offensive player of the week this week is Gerald Everett. Way to go, Austin Blythe. We love you.
Austin Blythe, showed his versatility yesterday, right? Saffold goes out, he slides over to the left.
Yep.
And probably gives him a sack.
We won't give Austin Blythe an award until he brings tank tops to training camp. This is the life of our beefy young adult sons. So said injuries. Rob, it was close. It was scary. When it happened, I would suggest people go back and look at the Tercio Times Twitter timeline, because I was scared.
Lord.
And I reverted to? I reverted to Catholic Joseph McAtee. I got my rosary. And I said, we're going to say a prayer. We're going to hold on to hope that this isn't it. And guess what? The Virgin Mary saved you. You're welcome. Cooper Kupp is not done for the season. God saved us again.
Did you see Remhardt's tweets about that? Are you blocked still?
I don't know who I've blocked and who I'm blocked by.
He had tweeted something out. It made me laugh because he said something along the lines of, Lord, if you can get Cooper Kupp to make an appearance in the second half of this game and the miracle, I'm gonna repent and I'm gonna join.
Oh, Will Ram?
Yeah.
Will Ram Wallace?
Yeah. So it was great. And so after he came out, I asked him what size robe he wears. But we were all doing that. I was not a happy boy. I may have used some off color language towards former Ram Darian Stewart.
How could we not?
Was not good.
Were you emotional when you saw him on a cart?
No one was home. We had game night scheduled for that night. So my wife had left a little earlier and went over, and I met her there later. And so no one was here, and I was emotional in a not happy way, kind of cussing a little bit, not teary. I did get bummed out afterwards. Like at halftime, I'm thinking, oh man, this is my guy. And If I don't get to watch Coop every week, what am I going to do?
What that means, though, Robbo? What that means about that knee? That's the sexiest damn knee in the entire NFL. That knee.
Left MCL is the best, sweetest looking MCL in all of the NFL. That MCL is so sweet. It's got that nice
subtle
curve. You want to be able to just look at it and admire it from afar, but you also want to get up close and ask it for lunch. That MCL.
You can hold that knee while you fall asleep, and when you wake up, it'll be holding you.
Right. That MCL.
You could go hiking with that MCL.
Oh, goodness. I was.
But you'll run out of oxygen before the hike even begins.
But also, How big of a Rocky moment was when you saw him come out the third quarter? He's out there lining
Good
up.
Lord, that was awesome.
I mean, it was like, are you kidding me? Now we find out.
It felt like the end of Rudy. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, I think that kind of speaks to his character a little bit. You know, he missed the prior week with the concussion. He kind of mentioned post game, you know, he felt bad about leaving his guys out there and he wanted to compete. And I think it was just him saying, you know what? We made reports of him not being able to get off the cart. They put him back there. He needed help to get off the cart to get the x-rays. I'm thinking, oh man, this thing's done. And then he's out there, he comes out of the tunnel, like, you know, he's going to come out and play the third quarter. So luckily they didn't need him. They pulled him out. They didn't have any other damage. I think McVay saw, he said after the game, you know, he wasn't the same guy. He couldn't do the things he should be doing. So we didn't want to risk him. And now we find out he's
because
he
sprained
his MCL.
And he can't. I was going to say, right. There's a reason for people who have not paid attention to the news. He suffered a sprained MCL per the team. He's going to miss a couple of weeks. We're going to have to see. It's one of these things where he could miss 1 week. He'd miss a couple of weeks. We're just going to have to see, pay attention to the injury reports as they come out. But that's why he didn't look like himself. He's got an actual injury. Thankfully, it's not as bad as it could have been. Thank you, Santa Maria.
Well, I have a question for you guys.
Do we see more Kadarius Hodge in that role?
Well, that's my question.
Maybe.
Is our backup slot receiver Kadarius Hodge, or is it Robert Woods?
Robert Woods.
Do they have an open tryout on Wednesday between everybody on the roster and maybe some other guys to say who wants this and who's going to earn it?
I think we mentioned earlier how much in love with Robert or J.B. someone here is. Do we want Kadarius Hodge to get that shot? And so we can keep Robert Woods out in his role and hopefully Kadarius Hodge could do some of the things. I don't know.
I love Kadarius Hodge. I want to see him out there doing slot receiver stuff.
You want to see him rubbing? Can he hold up in the run game? Because they ask Kupp to block DNs often.
That's a good point.
And so I don't know that you're going to get Kadarius Hodge, you know, blocking DNs, whereas Robert Woods is a little bigger body. And you already talked about his willingness to compete in the run game. So I think that's kind of why they do that stuff. But I think you could get a package and get him in there when you're not asking him to you know, take on Khalil Mack in a couple of weeks.
Sure. Two things I'd say. Number one is that it's nice to be a Rams fan right now where we trust that whatever they do, that's going to give us some faith in that decision because Sean McVay is our head coach and they seem to do no wrong pretty much. And that's going to be great. The number two thing is I would just point to, for people who haven't seen McVay's comments today at his press availability, he talked about the idea that they might bring somebody in. Here's his exact quote. Quote, there might be somebody that we have a history with, but we're working through those things right now. So I wouldn't say workouts, but there might be somebody that we would bring in. They pressed him further. He said, quote,
don't.
I think we'll just wait until we have some finality to that. But there are some potential discussions as far as bringing somebody in that would help give us some depth. Rob, you're itching. Go at it.
No. It's not. It's
Tavon.
Not.
It's Tavon.
Nelson's
a trade for Tavon.
What?
It's not going to be the king of the Conejo Valley, is it?
It's Nelson Spruce.
Nelson Spruce.
I want to go so far back. Well, it could be Nelson. There's so many options that I want to go back to. I want to go to Denario Alexander. I want to
go
to Mike Sims Walker. I'm willing to do it.
Bring the hook out of retirement. Get Torrey Holt out there.
Go, Mark Clayton. We're going all the way back
to the
back of the depth chart. For the offensive line, we reached a point only for a couple plays where the Rams did not have any backup offensive linemen. Roger Saffold went out. Andrew Whitworth went out. Both of them supposedly are going to be good to go. We're going to have to pay attention to the injury report. Maybe it's time to activate Brian Allen, who's been inactive. Joey, are you worried at all about the offensive line and the depth? As good as they've played, we saw Jamon Brown come into the game. He's been replaced by Austin Blythe, obviously, this season. Are you worried about the idea that this is going to come to a point where we've got to start shuffling things on the offensive line?
No, not at all. I think they got their act together. I like the depth. I'm a huge Jamon Brown fan. I think Joseph Noteboom's been great. And I think if we got to bring in Brian Allen for the practice squad, great, sure. I mean, that guy can play center, but he can also play guard, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think I think it's fine. I don't think any of those guys are disasters. I'm not going to be killing myself if they go in the game and we're just going to be like, oh, all these penalties or they're getting the quarterback sack. I think they're all good.
if any of them were starters, I wouldn't be freaking out. So I think they're good.
I would freak out if the entire left side of our line is missing like it was for two plays. I would freak out if you're going from Andrew Whitworth and Roger Saffold to Joseph Noteboom and Austin Blythe, or yeah, because he switched to the left side. So that's a little bit of a drop.
I did like Joey's answer.
Like that, Robbo.
Oh, go ahead.
Sure.
I mean, it happened in this game, right? We had Noteboom and Blythe for a play or two.
In history, fine. You're right.
But that's why I like Joey's answer was, are you worried about it? Hell, you said no, but you almost said hell no. Fuck no, I'm not worried. America, motherfuckers.
He has a young baby who is not able to listen to that language. He has to.
Yeah.
He's got to watch his mouth.
You know what? You just got to put on Lebowski and just let it all the tension and worry about the Rams' offensive line.
Where's Lebowski Fest this weekend? Where's Lebowski Fest this weekend? Is it, like you don't know.
In my heart, there's a Lebowski Fest every weekend. There's a traveling caravan of Lebowskiites who just travel.
Joe, I got a question for you. You're familiar with venues. Where do you think the Lebowski Fest was in Los Angeles? Like, kind of like around like the capacity. What kind of – do you think it's a venue you've heard of?
I've got so many that I go through. It wouldn't be in Los Angeles.
Like, do you think it's like a parking lot of a Denny's, think it's like, you know, the Rose Bowl? Like, what do you got?
It should be something with a bowl, right? It should be like Hollywood Bowl, Rose Bowl, because of the bowling.
That's huge. That's huge, Rob.
It wouldn't be in Los Angeles. You'd have to leave Los Angeles and go out to like San Bernardino. You'd have to, exactly. Bakersfield, exactly. It would be somewhere out there. You wouldn't be able to do it in L.A. if you're doing it right. Oh, man. Oh,
well, I mean,
Wheeler Springs.
Lebowski Fest is everywhere, bro. It's all over the place. But
Lebowski Fest isn't in a place. It's wherever you make it.
Exactly. It's in your heart. But it was at the Wiltern. And
wow.
It was, it was pretty crazy. There was like a line all the way around the Wiltern, with just everybody's all dressed up. Anyways, that is going to be a thing I'm going to do every podcast, just randomly start talking about Lebowski. So
that's the win. Yeah, that's the last. I would have never thought, like, oh yeah, right down Wilshire, there's a line for Lebowski Fest. That's the least Lebowski-esque idea I could have come up with. That doesn't make any sense.
And the real, like, Jeff Lebowski, the guy that they, like, wrote him after, he just is, like, some, like, stoner burnout that, like, lives in Venice. He showed up, like, in his robe, and he, like, kind of talked at the beginning of it and just kind of rambled on for 10 minutes. It was awesome. I guess he was at some party with the Coen brothers, and he was just being a weirdo, and they kind of, like, looked at each other, like, we got to write a character about that guy. That guy's weird. Just a weird guy.
Wonderful.
Anywho.
I can get you a toe, dude. I can get you a toe.
Toe by 5 o'clock.
I love John Goodman. That character is the best.
I just like the idea of Lebowski Fest at the Wiltern. That's one of those things that I like. Of all the places you're going to stick people who would go to Lebowski Fest, let's put them at Wilshire and Western. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's the place.
Right.
I remember we're standing on the side of Wilshire, and running down the street, down Wilshire, were two guys in red spandex outfits with a big, huge comical scissors, and they're chasing each other, like in that kind of dream that he has.
Yeah.
And they're just full red spandex, just running all the way around the world on the entire building, just on the big streets. And there's, you know, there's police barricades. It was insane. But
what I liked was that when you started that story, I thought there were men running in red spandex that had nothing to do with Lebowski Fest. And that's one of the things that I love about LA. Would have been perfect. Boys, we got it done. We got through week six, 23-20. We got out of that damn climate with a win. Professor's historical aversion to weather under 70 degrees has yet again proved embattled. We did it. But there's something we got to talk about. I don't know how this came up today. I don't know how it came up again. It's not. I railed against the idea of fans calling you know, holding for every play, or all of my other pet peeves. One of my pet peeves is the idea of the sack as a statistic. I think it's horrible. I think it empowers the weak, and not even the Sosa. That's what makes it worse. It empowers the weakest, dumbest among us, and it lures the Sosas and the Rods of the professors of the world in. It's like an amulet of unknown powers that allures to the wisest and knowingest among us.
If the team doesn't score, they can't win.
It soaks you in to its stupidity and its foolishness. And it pervades. It's like a virus. It spreads. It's spread before Twitter. It's known to ancient men before language and the written word were available. The sack exists. I know you believe that Deacon Jones invented the term sack. The sack has existed as a term since 48 BC. It was there when Jesus was put on the cross. The sack has been there. It's behind everything. The sack has been behind all evil in mankind.
Deacon Jones would beat Jesus' ass, and he would club him and sack him up. Deacon Jones invented the sack. Don't give me Jesus invented the sack and David. No, it was not biblical. Deacon Jones invented the sack, and he was a ram. He's one of the greatest rams ever, and that's why it's important, period, end of story.
Is that why you love the sack, just because Deacon Jones came up with the term?
No, I love the sack because it annoys you.
Yeah, I know. That's a good reason.
It kind of feels like in basketball, how they started kind of, you know, using like deflections as a statistic, but it's only been going on for, you know, a handful of years. It's not like they kept that in the 70s or the 80s and even blocks. And I think when you do that with defense is I think the sack has a finality to it where it feels like now it's the end of the play.
I made
but,
the analogy
you know, something
that,
like a pressure, it, when people talk about how many pressures a guy has, it just doesn't feel as significant because it doesn't actually like make the whistle blow.
Joey, I said this to Joe earlier today. I said a sack is the defensive equivalent of an offensive big play. Like you have a big play and it's like, wow, that's a big splash play. It's a splash play. It's not as good as a turnover, but it's a splash play for the defense. And then Joe says, well, what about that sack that Aaron Dahl got this week? It was pretty weak. You know, Case Keenum just sat on his ass and Donald touched him.
What was he doing? So, what was Case Keenum doing? Aaron Donald wasn't even rushing the quarterback. He dropped back and just waited for Aaron Donald to come from 10 yards away to sack.
Not want to die. Oh, we're just going to sit down.
That was 17 yards.
Yeah. And
that,
you know what? It still counts.
And
it's
stupid.
That's
why it's horrible. So let's do a little history. Somewhere in this world, there's a 14-year-old young woman who is listening to us who has no idea what we're talking about. Sack. We're incredibly sorry. You need to listen to another podcast immediately.
You definitely need to talk to your parents about parental controls on the internet.
The term sack was made famous by Deacon Jones in the 1960s, who thought that he was talking about a city when it was sacked or a potato sack. He gave different versions of what he meant, but it was made popular by Deacon Jones, obviously from the Los Angeles Rams. Didn't get made into a credited statistic until 1982. So it's one of these things that took a while to really come into popular usage. And obviously you got the single sack leader in Michael Strahan from 2001. You've got Rams leaders in sack. The biggest problem that I've got with the sack is kind of what we alluded to with Aaron Donald or the sack that we saw from Matt Longmaker that was negated by a penalty from Marcus Peters 2 weeks ago.
Don't you dare take that away from Matt Longmaker.
What Joey alluded to with the idea of the finality is that the sack is binary. Either you get a sack or you don't. And when you get a sack, it validates the play regardless of what happened. Just like Aaron Donald, you could not do shit and then end up with a sack, and the binary nature of it validates whatever you did, which is stupid, or you could do all kinds of things, which Aaron Donald does constantly, and not get a sack and not have it validated, which is why I had morons on Twitter and on other platforms 3 weeks ago saying that Aaron Donald was having a down season because he didn't have a ton of sacks. That's just stupid, and that's what the sack does. It provides ammunition for the dum-dums of our time, and we need to make that ammunition illegal. We need to strip it for them. Forget gun reform. I'm not talking about the Second Amendment. I'm talking about 100 Second Amendment, the SAC. We need to make that statistic illegal. We need to take their ammunition away, and we need to fix the Constitution. That's the end.
Make SACs great again.
America. SACica.
Do you remember a gentleman by the name of Mr. Gastineau? Played for the Jets. What did he do after he got his sack? What did he do? He danced. It's like Footloose. He danced. He danced. Yeah. That's when the sack became popular, right? You saw a fool acting like a fool because he made another guy look like a fool. And that's why
that's a good point. It's a fool stat. Well said, Robbo. It's a fool stat.
But we're fools.
Nice.
So I'm on board with it.
I love it.
We're never going to adjudicate this. Obviously, we're being smart and stupid at the same time. Joey, give us some smart, give us some stupid.
Just general smart and general stupid?
General stupid was the last 107 minutes.
Yeah exactly. You know what I'll say? Just talking about moving to our next topic, which is just closure on the game and how we felt about it. I think my stupid thing is I feel like kind of like sad about the game for some reason. It's like, it's a victory. And I think I came out of just the experience of watching the game being a little bit, I'll use the word. It's like, I was kind of disappointed in the way things worked out. And I was kind of surprised that, we were in control of the game throughout, won the game, and I'm still kind of like, oh man, we left a lot of points on that field.
What?
I felt like they could have easily scored 40 points on that.
We left so much porn on that field.
Oh man, we left so much
porn.
Never leave porn on the field, Joe. You leave porn on the field, and then you get little porn babies. I don't know.
Bruce Irvin style? I know you saw that. I know you saw that quote after the game, right?
As we talk about football, as we talk about something, I need to interrupt this podcast. This is getting off the rails.
No,
put
Jared.
This podcast back where it needs to be. Hold on. You're talking about Jesus. Blasphemy. Hold on.
I was watching an interview with Whitworth today, and I was thinking about Joe's impersonation of Whitworth.
Right?
And just Whitworth, who basically has no accent.
When I listen to him do interviews, I hear it in Joe's voice now. I hear, that's how I hear the voice.
Looking for the gumbo weather now. Look, hey, October. That's the time you start letting that crab go, that shrimp coming in. Hey, boy, time to play some football. Come on over here, Jay. I know, hey, take them gloves off. Take them gloves. What the hell you was wearing them for in the first place? You don't need no damn gloves. What's wrong with them knuckles? You put them in a little bit of flour, a little bit of clabber, warm them things up. You can play some football now. Come on over here. What's wrong with you? Oh, my God. Todd, stop running, Todd. Stop running, Todd. The game's over. You're running like you ain't had nowhere to run the whole damn game. Hot mess.
Andrew, did you hear Todd Gurley say he's going for LT's record, 28 touchdowns?
I tell you what Todd's going for is a haircut. Look like goddamn spiders growing out his head is what it looked like. What is on that young man's head? That's a hot mess. You want to be considered for MVP? I'll tell you who's an MVP. I'll tell you right now, John Sullivan. That's a man with ethics. That's a man with morals. That's a man who's – have you seen his hamstrings? That's a man who comes prepared to work. That's why.
It's all about the hamstrings. We know it's
Todd Gurley over here working out biceps doing commercials. You know what John Sullivan did this weekend? John Sullivan fixed the handle on the cabinet board in his kitchen. That's a good man. That's an MVP in my book. Thank you, Jonathan.
Swapped out the points on his 1976 Ford pickup.
It really
call,
dovetailed
right?
into
that's
gaps
a good vehicle.
Vehicle.
That's a good vehicle.
Gaps and spark plugs.
Joey, you are sad. What's your feeling on the game, Robert? Do you feel? Give me one word emotion. We're doing this. Joey felt sad. What's your one word emotional reaction?
Content.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I was content. you know, points. I wanted to see us whoop that ass like we have the last couple of weeks, but they won. It was 6-0, and I was content with the victory after it was over. I was content.
I was crunchy. On to the new NFL. Here's what I don't understand is, obviously, our game doesn't fit into this. We saw Pats Chiefs last night. I don't know if you guys watched it. 49ers Packers night.
That was sexy.
The new NFL is sexy only if you like points. And everybody does. We love touchdowns.
True.
We love points. We love entertainment. What are defenses supposed to do? What are defenses supposed to do anymore? I get it. We're coming off a game when it was
2020.
It was 23-20, and that's about as good as defenses can do. Is whole team at the 700 yards of offense and 43 points? It's just a different game, man.
There's style points in that. When I say I loved it, because it was just like, all right, Pat's got this thing, and one play later, Mahone has got them in the end zone. It's like him and Tyreek Hill. I was like, Jesus, that shit's fun to watch. And I love a good defensive ass whooping. I like the 85 Bears as much as everybody else because I'm old and I remember that. But you can't tell me you just don't get excited when you see a young guy, young, exciting guy, like Deshaun Watson last year, just a young, exciting guy making big plays. Like, you know what? There's no moment that's too big for me. I'm gonna match you, Tom Brady. Check this shit out. Bam! Touchdown. I love that part. But I do not want to see the pinball side of it where it's just score, 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 score.
And that's the problem, right? It was exciting to see Pat Mahomes do it. Nobody looks at the Jets and the Colts 42-34 and saying, ooh, that's the exciting part is the Jets and the Colts putting up 76 points.
Yeah, but get those games what they're like 12-9. It's like Baltimore, Cleveland, and that's just because their offenses just can't score the points. So if you see a low scoring game, it's no longer an offensive struggle. It's more of an offensive struggle.
We don't have the 12-9 Cleveland games anymore. Those are
I thought there was one like a week ago. Maybe a week ago.
It's just such an anomaly now where you've got not every game, but we've seen scoring is up at record levels, yardage is up at record levels. Where everything is pushing the upper limits of offense, and it's not that I'm complaining by any means. Like Rob said, it's incredibly entertaining, but it's just a different game. It's just a different sport, and it's one of those things where if you're the biggest criticism that we've got coming out of this game isn't necessarily that the defense gave up 20 points. It's that the offense only scored 23. It's almost unacceptable.
Yeah, like a letdown. Yeah.
Right.
Do you know who doesn't?
Do you think this is going to be the new norm, or do you think it's just a phase?
It's the new norm for now, for sure. And I don't see it changing anytime soon.
Look at Sherman's Twitter every other week. It's just, you know, this is what the league wants. They want electric games, whatever. You know who doesn't like today's NFL? Mike Smith. He got fired after the Bucs have given up 173 points, defensive coordinator for the Bucs, and give up 34 in a loss again yesterday.
Fired for the first time by the Bucs? No.
Dude.
No, refired. What is the term for that? What is the time when you get fired?
The Falcons caused him to get fired twice, right? Because he was the Falcons head coach, and they fired him, and then they got him fired again yesterday because they whooped his ass. Look at the points scored in this league. 179, 49ers have given up. 139, the Cardinals have given up. 118, the Rams. I mean, everyone's up there. I mean, I guess the best D right now is the Ravens at 77, right?
How about that Vaughn Jaguars defense? Let's check 40 points by Dallas yesterday. Awesome. Yeah, great.
Well, the Monday Night Football game that we just watched, it felt like that game was going to – before the game, I was like, I don't want to watch this game. It's going to be awful. And then kind of casually watching it, and suddenly I'm like, oh, this is actually an exciting game, and the 49ers are moving the ball. And we just felt like, okay, well, it's not just punting. I mean, they're scoring points. And I think that, the defense could be playing better, and there's a frustrating element to that. But also, just for TV, just entertainment value, it's good.
It's great.
Yeah, NBA TV.
NBA, with all your all you cool kids that can share videos from the league and a league that's open to you and willing to accept you, you suck it. We're the NFL, we're old, and we're still the best. Yeah.
We're the CBS of sports.
Yeah. You respect your elders. Hike up your pants. What the hell is this noise? You certainly
put on
this noise
put
in your commercials these days.
Oh, Joe, that's actually a person I'm surprised that the NFL didn't get for the halftime shows is Paul Simon. Can you imagine
you
how cool that would be in Atlanta?
You say that. There, what are the chances that Maroon 5 pulls out Paul Simon as a guest at halftime? It is well above 0%.
At least
40%. I know you'd be rolling your eyes, but I actually would be like digging into the popcorn because that sounds
pretty great. You'd love it if Julio Jones came out and me and Julio down by the schoolyard and Julio Jones was there. It'd be perfect.
And then right after, like they're like, and ladies and gentlemen, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band. And like Tom Cruise comes out. Yeah, that's all I want. That's what I dream about, guys.
We're screwed. We're absolutely screwed.
So we're playing the Niners next week. You guys excited about that?
What is this game? What is this game? Help me, Rob.
Help you?
Yeah, help me with this game. I don't understand it at all.
With the Niners Rams game? Did I see the 49ers lost another player? They lost their tight end, George Kittle, right? So, and they still put up, how many points did they put up tonight? Over 30, 33?
30 points.
Tonight?
They put up 30.
With C.J. Beathard.
You know, but their play cost us a primetime game on NBC, guys.
Sure.
Al Michaels is not going to be doing the game with Collinsworth. We're going to get
there is some outrage about that. There is a lot of outrage about getting flexed out. I'm like, you know what? I get it. People don't want to see the Rams whoop that ass. Then someone else had said, I won't name him because he has another pod, and I don't want to feel like I'm talking down about him. But you know, he's like, you know, it's you know, they've been better without Garoppolo. I mean, they've scored as many points without Jimmy G. And why do we get dogged? I get it. He's not. But they have a deadline when they have to make that call. At the time, it's like, all right, the Rams are just rolling on people, and they don't look so good. Maybe we'll switch that one out. They didn't have the foresight to know that they would make a game with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I get it. I'm not too butthurt about it. It's not like they're flexing out the Rams Chiefs game in Mexico. It's,
sure. Of course.
I mean, it's all right. It's all right. Diet. I'm okay with it.
I'm honestly now I just feel discomforted by the idea that Joey brought up Paul Simon. I can't even think about the game. I'm just thinking about like James Taylor coming out at halftime. This is the most NFL.
Yes.
It's gonna be so bad.
People actually watch the halftime show? You don't switch it over to Puppy Bowl?
I don't know what people watch. I watch it
every time.
We were supposed to believe that everybody was boycotting the NFL and somehow it's gotten better ratings. I don't know what's going on anymore. I don't understand this. We live in a trash world. America.
Yeah, we're trash people.
Get Joey's son on here. That's the guest we need.
America.
I'm just going to like wake him up. Augie, wake up. Come in here.
Speaking of daddy's mic.
Yeah. He's really into this microphone. He comes into my office and he plays with it all the time. He loves it. So we're gonna start our own.
What's funny, Augie would you know what the chances are? Augie would have some of that weird kind of profound shit that you're not ready for, that especially as like a dad, where you would be like, Augie, what do you think about football? Well, it's interesting because men hurt each other, but in the end, doesn't really matter. Just makes me feel more grown up. And you're like, oh shit, Augie.
He's like,
that's what
we're
I
all
think.
Gonna die in 25 years anyway.
You're 40. I don't understand. You know, I'm just closer to going to sleep, but it makes me feel awake. Augie, that's what I feel like. You're right.
Yeah,
America.
It's true.
Augie, you get it. You get it.
I'm gonna record him saying America.
I just want to talk to Augie. Screw you guys. We're gonna do a podcast.
The Augie and Joe. Oh, get Augie first on the Lebowski fest.
Yeah. Well, I hope you like talking about garbage trucks because.
Do I ever? Oh, son, I'm from the South. I can talk about garbage all day.
Garbage.
Well, he heard that there was a white garbage truck out there, and we went on the internet to try to find footage of a white garbage truck. I've only seen red, blue, and green ones. This is my freaking life.
It's the white whale.
The white whale. Video footage of garbage trucks.
I think the Coen brothers did a movie about that. They did a movie about two garbage men who worked a white garbage truck that
Joe Dirt
worked a small neighborhood in western Minneapolis. I remember that movie.
Yeah.
We could skip college football this week, can't we? Do we need to? Is there any, yeah. Robbo, this is your week. That we can't skip it. You get a week. You get it. Go ahead.
I have to apologize to Jared Goff for being a member of a university who got their ass whooped by a team who lost at home to both Cincinnati and Fresno State. I'm sorry, Mike Silver, all the rest of you Cal Bears. Suck it! Because the Bruins came and whooped your ass, and now you are the sorriest piece of shit on the.
How did that happen? 37-7 at Cal. That's
whooped that ass. I mean, yeah, it's a chip factor. It took Chip six games to get this thing going. Now watch out,
now,
USC. We're coming for you, son. Watch out, Prof. We're coming. We're gonna get you.
Game.
Watch it.
I love it.
Yeah, that's yeah. We could talk.
Joey, did you? Did you watch any college ball? Did you, obviously, USC wasn't in action. Did you watch anything this weekend?
Yeah, I think I did, but I forgot what game it was. But it
you
was
watched
your
boy upset the dogs.
Yes, I watched the LSU game. Is actually that was on that was on the TV, and I was watching that for a while. And yeah, that was pretty good. Did you watch that, Joe? Were you watching the LSU game?
I watched every game. You know I watched that game. It's LSU,
well,
Georgia.
Yeah.
Did. I'm a college football slut. This is what I do. It's ask Augie about it. Augie, what did you think about the game?
It was a good game, but I thought Steve Erlinger, you know, it was easy to scheme against Georgia once they couldn't stop the run in the first half. LSU's offensive line took over. You know, honestly,
I
if
like
anything,
it.
I was more intrigued by Wisconsin, Michigan later on that evening. You got two good offensive line going up against each other. Scott Hornibrook against Shea Patterson. You know, it's like my dad always said, Big Ten football, there's history, but history is a mystery. And that's, you know, one of those things that I always like watching football for is to figure out what the mystery is, even as it pertains to our time. Football.
That's amazing because if I give my kid a basketball, he'll say, that's a football. Like, he does not know the difference between the major
baby
sports
shark,
balls.
Baby shark, baby shark, baby shark.
Yeah, that sounds like my nightmare.
Did you watch future New York Giant Justin Herbert beat the Washington Huskies this week?
I did. It was a great game. Did you guys watch it?
Yep. OT, baby, yeah.
Did you watch it, Joey?
Yeah. No, I didn't watch it, but I did see, I think it was LaDainian Tomlinson on that show that Rob was talking about. I think it was him that said that John Elway was scouting Justin Herbert.
He was there?
This weekend.
He was there. They
yeah.
showed him up in the booth, yeah.
I think I could see Herbert playing for the Broncos.
You got to go back and watch that game. That was a great game. That was an awesome game. Went to OT. Rob, you had to watch it. Obviously, it was Washington.
I've seen the highlights.
Yeah. Did you agree with the call to send the freshman walk-on kicker to take that rather than just run another play?
Well, what's the option?
What Sean McVay have done? What would Sean McVay have done?
Sean McVay would have called the dumb flip play, and then everybody would have criticized him for the play call.
There you go.
Nah, I don't know, man. Fun weekend of college, fun weekend ahead. It is what it is. San Fran, we'll be back later on in the week.
See us next week. We'll talk to you guys soon. Go Rams.
Bye. Looking for the sacks. I don't stop drumming till I put them on the back. Limousine with it. My moves are like dreams. They call me the demon on special teams. I know how to rock from the toes to the head. When I pull the trigger, I'll knock you dead. I'm a mountain man from West VA. They call me Herc and I came to play. I learned long ago to ram it just right. You can ram it all day and ram it all night.
Teddy Hill, take a look at my stock. I catch what they told me and I like the block. I'm quick off the line as I can be, cause I don't want dick running over me.
This is baby face and I don't yield. I'm a Texan fool on the football field. From the Jersey Shore to Balboa Bay, if you run at me, you'll have a bad day.
RB, no speedball brown. Fastest man in the whole damn town. Cars and ladies are a part of my creed, but more than that, I feel the need for speed.
This is Catcher, out to make a run. With shades on, I can catch a BB in the dark. So now you're ready, and I'm sure you'll agree. The ramming is fun when you're ramming with me.
What is the greatest thing you can experience? It is the hour of your greatest contempt. The hour in which even your happiness becomes loathsome to you, and so also your reason and virtue. The hour when you say, what good is my happiness? It is poverty and filth and miserable self-complacency. But my happiness should justify existence itself. The hour when you say, what good is my reason? Does it long for knowledge as the lion for his prey? It is poverty and filth and miserable self-complacency. The hour when you say, what good is my virtue? It is not yet driven me mad. How weary I am of my good and my evil. It is all poverty and filth and miserable self-complacency. The hour when you say, what good is my justice? I do not see that I am filled with fire and burning coals, but the just are filled with fire and burning coals. The hour when you say, what good is my pity? It is not the pity, the cross on which he is nailed, who loves man, but my pity is no crucifixion.